The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Bobby Belt Power Hour here in the G-Bag Nation. Myself, Eric Chiafalo. We got the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, and Chris Strong is in for Lucius. Lucius will be back on Monday. Dawson and Walchuk after the new year. Great to have you in. 877-881-1053. NFL News of the Day. Bobby's got some Cowboys stuff for us, and we're off and running here. Bobby, how many seconds of that trash football game did you watch last night?
Not very much. A couple seconds. Then I was just like, this is awful football. I mean, what, that's 2 in 3 weeks, Thursday night football, where we didn't get a touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, it's, you're right. And then you had the Monday night football disaster where the Saints get shut out.
Texans put up a sweet two spot the other day on Christmas.
That was so funny. That's funnier than getting blown out.
You know what's,
I firmly believe that.
You know what's funniest about that? I was like, 31-2. Surely that was Scorigami. Nope.
Nope.
Happened three other times.
The last time, September 19th of 1965, though. So it had been
14 NFL teams playing that day.
Yeah, that's a little different. Yeah. It's a little bit different.
What a disgusting score, though. We're going to need a football palate cleanser. Hopefully the games that are on tomorrow, we get a couple of good ones, because the stretch that they're on right now for Monday Night Football, the Christmas Day games, and then last night, those are some bad ones. Now, from a Cowboys standpoint, did you guys see what Eric Dickerson had to say about Saquon Barkley approaching his rushing record?
Is he giving him?
He doesn't want him breaking it.
He does not.
He never does.
No. And, I mean, why would he? I don't understand why anybody would, especially now that you add that extra game and it feels like you're kind of cheating a little bit. Eric Dickerson said, I don't think he'll break it, but if he breaks it, he breaks it. Do I want him to break it? Absolutely not. I don't pull no punches on that, but I'm not whining about it. He had 17 games to do it. Hey, football is football.
Boy, that would be three pretty big losses for SMU in the course of about 3 weeks.
It'd be a lot to handle.
They can't drop that one, too.
Yeah, do it for Dickerson tomorrow, Mike Zimmer and company. You know, just load up. It's going to be, I mean, Pickett versus Rush. That's not necessarily going to be an air it out kind of football game. They're going to try and do everything they can to get as close as possible for Barkley to end up having that record within striking distance versus his former team.
What are the odds that Dallas has a better rushing attack in final stats than Philadelphia? What would the odds be of that?
It's possible. Dallas has been running the ball better lately. If they just load up and decide we're going to put nine defenders in the box or something like that, I mean, maybe they just make it too tempting to make Kenny Pickett throw the ball. But I would say it's likely. But it's possible.
That's how I think you have to win this game, is that you're going to have to make Kenny Pickett be a passer.
Yeah. That's honestly what you're going to have to lean into. We just got the final Cowboys practice report, if you'd like game statuses
This weekend.
Yeah. In this very critical game that the Cowboys are about to play. Keeman Hall, Keeman Hall, CeeDee Lamb, Amani Oruwariye, all three of them are out. TJ Bass is doubtful with a thigh issue. And then plenty of questionables. Jalen Brooks.
AO's out. Okay.
Jalen Brooks, Chuma Edoga, Eric Kendricks, Awesem Richards, Jalen Tolbert, Nick Vigil, Donovan Wilson, all questionable.
Okay, what's going to happen then? We're going to get to the game, and Eric Kendricks is going to warm up, and we'll see if in fact he can go.
Hurts has been officially ruled out too, by the way. Yeah. That is now.
That hurts.
That is now official. Yeah.
It certainly does.
Also seeing as well that the Browns and Deshaun Watson have agreed to terms on a contract restructure. easing the salary cap burden for years to come.
Like, I'm going to give you back $100 million?
I don't think it's that.
Boy,
think,
it's a lot to... that. It's really hard to restructure something fully guaranteed. I mean, you can do it, but it's gonna you're going to take a bath at some point.
Yeah, that's...
What did they do? Can you give me some insight?
I don't know. I just see from Ian Rappaport, that's the tweet that he just had. So I don't know the details of it yet.
Typically, they would... when you do one of those, you're going to take a... For instance, if his salary is $46 million, which I think it is.
Yeah.
You would... roll over. All right, we're going to make $40 million of your salary. We're going to convert it into signing bonus, and then we're going to spread it out. So this would just be, I imagine, that. And but if they had to agree to it, because you can restructure without them agreeing to it. So if they had to come to some sort of an agreement, I'm guessing they're trying to put void years on the back.
Yeah, Pelissero says the adjustment to Watson's contract doesn't impact his $73 million cap number in 2025, which I guess can happen later. They can move some stuff around for that, but it lets the Browns spread the cap hit at the end of the contract, which expires after 2026, which Pelissero says is a strong sign that Watson will be in Cleveland for two more years at least. So, I mean, geez.
Who do you think is more unhappy? The Browns that they're stuck with him for 2 years, or Watson that he has to live in Cleveland for two more years?
Oh, it has to be the Browns. It has to be the Browns. Because Watson is made in the shade, dude. Every time I see a clip of him from social media, he's on some yacht somewhere. Just he's not even in Cleveland. He's like, it's fine. I'll get hurt again very quickly.
Yeah, that girlfriend he broke up with, too,
I'll just be out and about doing whatever I want.
Are we calling those girlfriends that he had?
No, no. I think he was dating a girl that was a
probably dating Travis Hunter's chick.
Yeah. TikToker.
Sounds like everybody is.
A lot of people are. All right, Bobby. You got some Cowboys stuff for us?
Yeah, and actually this is inspired by one Brian Broaddus. And Choppy and I kicked this around this morning, but Choppy's going to be Mr. Take a hatchet and let's chop off the budget. He's like, replace him. So he's not going to be as giving, I don't think, as you two will be. So if the Cowboys continue to tighten their budget, can they afford these players who are really stepping up from them late in the season? And Brian brought this up in particular on Love the Star recently about Chauncey Golston.
Yeah.
And had mentioned... I'm tired of doing the heavy lifting for developing players so that somebody else can reap the rewards of it and how irritating that is. And that's very frustrating. So you've got several unrestricted free agents coming up and one pretty large restricted free agent that I think will actually take some sort of evaluation.
That's going to be Turpin, right? I believe.
Yep.
Okay.
In fact, we'll just lead off with Turpin and then we'll get to the unrestricted free agent deals. So Kevontae Turpin.
So we're going to have to tender him a one or a two, right?
So if you do an original round tender, the current projections are that if you do an original round tender, which is basically just right of first refusal,
right,
that's all you get. You don't get draft pick compensation back. That's $3.1 million.
Right.
I think somebody would be willing to pay Kevontae Turpin more than $3 million a year. And they would sign that contract. And so that tender doesn't totally protect you. You're just going to have to match whatever somebody signs them to. The second round tender is $5.2 million, which gives you right of first refusal. And if he doesn't get signed anything, he can potentially play just 1 year, $5.2 million, totally guaranteed. The first round is $7.2 million. Mm-hmm. So Deonte Hardy, a couple years back, signed with the Bills for 2 years and about $4.7 million a year. And he had a very similar trajectory. Small guy, kick return specialist, made a Pro Bowl, started being used as receiver more in his third year. And they ended up signing him away from the Saints and getting the deal. Saints declined the option. But somebody came and paid him $4.7 million annually. So I would not be surprised if with cap inflation and everything else, somebody says, I'll pay Kevontae Turpin $6 million a year to come play for me.
For sure. Yeah. So, I've been looking at Turpin like, man, in different offenses with different offensive coordinators, they'd be getting a lot more out of him.
But would they be willing to pay $6 million for him and then also give up a second round pick?
Absolutely not.
Probably not. So to me, I think the second round tender is the one. So Kevontae Turpin, 1 year, $5.2 million, fully guaranteed. Are you in on that?
I'm totally in on that.
I'm seeing that his value to this team right now is roughly about $3 million.
So I think it depends on how, like, it's such a...
They don't use him appropriately. They've now started
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, if... I'm just looking at over the cap.
No.
I'm trying to find the approximate value of the player.
Yeah.
And so, for example, they're saying that his approximate value is somewhere right around... $2.6 million is what I'm saying. So if you're asking me to pay, you're asking me to pay $6-7 million, I think I'd have a little trouble with that.
Well, and this would be five. You'd be paying five flat with another cap adjustment.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cap going up a little bit more, and it would basically be you're locking yourself in for 1 year. It wouldn't be several. And I would imagine the idea would be if you're bringing him back at that value, you're going to have to use him in the passing.
They're saying that his approximate value is $2.6 million.
Yeah, which over the cap has generally, there's a lot of variance and adjustment the way they use that. There have been times in the past where I think Odell Beckham's last year, a couple years ago, was something like $6 million, and he ended up signing for $15 million. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a good working spot to start with. I think it's easier to just look and say who's similar to him. Deontay Hardy's similar. And had a similar trajectory, similar numbers, similar type of build, and all those sort of things. And he ended up signing for about $5 million, and that was a couple of years ago. So I think $6 million.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me if somebody was willing to pay $6 million.
Okay, where are we? Okay, I got to ask a question here about and this. I'm trying to think through this because of our special teams. You know, maybe Turpin, if you had somebody in here like Chief said that knew how to use him, would you rather give him a contract or extend Brandon Aubrey?
I think if we're talking about just committing a year, you can do both. I think now if you're talking about locking him in for 3 years and you have to,
because you got Brandon Aubrey signed through 2025 for $1 million basically.
Yeah, so you've got time to get an extension done with Aubrey and lower that first year cap hit number to where you don't have to stress that too much. So I think if you're just committing to 1 year for Turpin, it shouldn't drag you down too much. It should. Now, the other question you have to ask is, I think it would be, I want him to be more involved in the passing game would be a stipulation for this. And then the other aspect would be, if you say goodbye to him, who's returning kicks for you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
And so what say ye? Are we saying $5.2 million? You're okay with offering him the second round tender? Or do you, Brian, want to go with just the right of first refusal, $3 million?
I want to go with the right of first refusal.
Eric,
I think I'd be fine with the 5.2.
Okay.
Do you think you're going to lose my way, don't you?
I do. Like, I mean, you can match it if you like, but I think then you're potentially entering yourself into a 3 year deal for $6 million a year.
I kind of feel like that I'll take that chance if I can match.
Sure, and you could match. It's just like you don't get the somebody same protection of the draft pick.
Do you think somebody will pay him $7 million or $8 million?
I guess it just depends on how much they think that he can be. He's shown some things running the football and different things. It depends on how somebody goes, I can use that as a Jakeem Grant weapon or a Deontay Hardy weapon. And if they think they can do it, then yeah, I think somebody I think six is more likely.
I'm going with the match.
Okay. Very good. Let's go to the undrafted free agents or the unrestricted free agents. Rico Dowdle. If I told you his value, which if you look at different guys who have gotten contracts recently, he would fall similarly in line due to his age, his workload, his injury history, everything else, and the way the running back market has started climbing again. 3 years, $18 million. 14 of that's guaranteed. So you're talking about basically locking yourself in minimum 2 years for six a year.
I don't think I can go that far with it.
Because of the injury history?
Yeah, the injury history is something for sure. Like in this
especially
year,
the way he runs, he's so violent. Yeah,
he's a physical dude.
Yeah.
So for me, I think that I would be okay letting that go.
Brian, if I tell you you can get Dowdle at 3 for 18, $14 million guaranteed, or I'm telling you if you pass, you're not going to be able to get one. Like the value's not going to fall for you the right way till the fifth round. Are you comfortable with that in the draft? Or do you say, I'll just pay the money?
See, now you've made it hard for me because, you know, maybe I don't get Ginty in the first round, but Hampton or one of the others.
Yeah, which is why I say, like,
I don't get a shot at a running back to the fifth round.
Not that you don't get a shot, just the value won't fall the right way. Similar to the last offseason, they didn't have the value fall for them the right way until you got into day three, where they were like, okay, this doesn't match up for us exactly.
Yeah, but they're going to get in a situation where I'm sure they're going to say, well, when they get to a certain point, they're going to say, oh, this guy's not better than Dowdle. This guy's not better than Dowdle.
Sure.
So it's going to turn into the fifth.
Yes.
If no Dowdle's here, think that, but you've put the stipulation, I'm not going to get a guy the fist.
Because they love to cover their bases. And I mean, you can just answer it regularly. I was just saying, if that was a factor, if I told you you couldn't get somebody
to the fifth. I was planning on grabbing a guy in the, if I can't, if I'm picking 14th or 15th and Genty's there, I'm taking him.
Yeah.
Regardless if
I agree.
If the guy's there or not.
Hear that, Eric? I agree.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know you guys agree.
Oh, I take Genty all day long.
You guys want to hustle backwards with your team building.
All right,
building.
So then obviously that was just a stipulation. But in a vacuum, 3 for 18, you're out on Dowdle for
yes,
that?
Yes.
Okay, and Eric, you're out as well.
Yes.
Oso Odighizuwa, 3 years, $33 million, $25 million guaranteed. It's $11 million a year. And that is similar to what Dorrance Armstrong just got in Washington as an edge rusher. And Osa as a younger defensive tackle, a lot of these three techniques that you've seen signed recently for similar values are 29, 30, 31. So 3 for 33 is probably not outrageous. The $25 million guaranteed might be workable, but you're probably looking at $11 million a year for Osa.
Okay, because I was thinking it was going to be even more than that. If you tell me it's $11 million a year, I'm in.
Okay.
I think he's worth that.
Brian?
I think you're getting a deal at $11 million, so I'm in.
All right, very good. Chauncey Golston, 2 years, $10 million, seven of it guaranteed. Do you want to pay that, or do you just say, I'm going to roll with Nealand?
Yeah, I'm rolling with Nealand.
Nealand.
Okay, very good. Carl Lawson, who's been a one-year contract kind of guy for a little bit. 1 year, $5 million. $3.5 million is guaranteed. So you hedge a little bit. You're going to be able to cut him and save some of that if you run into a problem or be able to deal him. But 1 year, $5 million for Carl Lawson.
In.
You in?
I'm definitely open to that. I would like to see what else is sort of there. What's the status of Sam Williams? But I'm down to for a deal like that.
And last one here for you. You guys have only signed Carl Lawson and Osa at this point. Last one, Jordan Lewis, who if you look at the market and the way that he's played, now he's smaller, he's got an injury history, but if I told you it was 3 years, $24 million, so it's $8 million a year and it's $15 guaranteed. So you're locking yourself in for 2 years to Jordan Lewis and his age 30 seasons, some of his health issues, not great top-end speed, smaller guy, but
everything,
a leader on defense and one of the smartest players you have.
And maybe off his best season?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. So 3 for 24, you going $8 million?
I wish Kalen Carson showed me a little bit more to feel better about saying, okay, we can just let Lewis walk out of here and maybe get a little comp pick in return down the line, but that obviously didn't happen. So, yeah, I think you have to. And with the dig stuff, like, where are you at from a cornerback standpoint?
It's more, to me, it's more about Carson.
Yeah.
Carson, if Carson would have played better this year,
would have helped.
I would have let Jordan Lewis walk. That was my plan. But Carson hasn't played. My value of Jordan Lewis over the cap, Bobby, could be good, could be bad.
That wasn't critical.
No. I'm just telling you. Good. I was just saying $5.7 million.
Yeah.
So,
I think when you look at similar to like
anybody,
Gilmore.
I don't have anybody else to play nickel that I feel good about.
Yeah.
So, I'm probably going to pay him $8 million.
Are you in?
Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Okay. So, you let Turpin, Dowdle, and Golston walk, or Turpin exposed, potentially.
Right.
And then re-signed Odighizuwa for $11 million, Carl Lawson 1 year for $5 million, and then Jordan Lewis 3 years at $8
million. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I don't either. I think that pretty much eats up your budget, though.
Yeah.
Terms of like you're not really welcoming in
that's
outside.
That's who you're retaining, and you're probably not going and getting anybody on the free agent market.
Yeah, and once you have a better idea of what the other options are, you know, you can bring more context to it. But as it stands right now, I'd be comfortable with this.
Yeah,
because now year two, assuming Zimmer's going to end up being back, and we can have that conversation. I wonder if Zimmer wants to be back. I don't know what the plan is, but it seems like all signs are pointing to McCarthy being back. So I think the Cowboys will want Zimmer back. You can have a little bit more in the way of continuity.
Jerry said they're tied together.
I don't know if Zimmer wants to come back.
Right, then. That's my thing. Is like, does he want to?
From their perspective, at least, tied together. But yeah, he very well could just say, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, I love it.